Thanks for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbfvegas.org. Now here is Pastor Jim Cruz.
We're going to be out there, and we need some Josephs and some Marys and some wise men, and we're going to have a good time out there. So if you would like to be part of the Living Nativity that we're going to be doing out at the racetrack, see Rosemary. She's in the back right there. Wave to us, and you guys can see her in the lobby afterwards. We want to get a lot of people out there, a lot of actors, actresses, and you could work on your Joseph or work on your Mary. I wouldn't go to that extent, but it's going to be a good time nonetheless. And it is the season, right, to be jolly, not grumpy, all right? And we need a kind of a little gut check today that it is Christmas, and we need to remember the reason for the season. And the reason is Jesus and what he brings us. And one of the biggest things that Jesus brings us is peace. And so we're starting a new series today called The Peace Project. How many can use some more peace in your life? Yeah, I know I can. And there's a lot of unrest in our world. California, the whole state seems like it's on fire. Some of you were here Wednesday. We played the video of how God is using our Ventura church right now. We have a church campus in Ventura, California, where the biggest fire, the Thomas Fire, has already, I believe, consumed 140,000 acres, destroyed so many people's homes, and God is just using our church big time there. The church itself has become a station for all of the firefighters that are coming from the outside area. They're using our church campus there because the campus has showers. And so there's, I think, about 100 firefighters that are staying the night, taking showers. Restaurants are bringing them food. And so our church is being used as a place for the first responder. Isn't that cool? Pastor Ron's son, Pastor Ron was with you guys last week. We swap pulpits every once in a while. But his son has a one-year-old little daughter. And so they were right by the fire. Their house wasn't damaged, but all the smoke and all of the stuff that was in the air, they wanted to get away. So they took a hiatus and went to Anaheim and got away from all of the smoky air. And he was kind of bummed because he knew how God was using the church there, and he kind of felt guilty that he was not helping. So he prayed. He was in the hotel, and he prayed. He said, God, I wish I could be used. Lord, I pray that you would give me an idea how I might be used, even though I'm not there. And then he went outside the hotel to take his dog for a walk, and then unbeknownst to him, the police right outside there, he was in a hotel that was right by a canyon in Anaheim. They were looking for a suspected arsonist. And so Josh Vietti, Ron Vietti's son, you guys saw this maybe on Facebook, but he actually helped capture an arsonist that could be the same arsonist that started a lot of these fires, and God used him. Watch this news clip. Isn't that crazy? My takeaway is when you pray for God to use you, he's going to. I told my brother-in-law, I go, that's crazy. I go, didn't it dawn on you with all the police in the area that when you're going through the bushes, they may think you're the guy? And he goes, I didn't think about it at the moment, but man, I just thought that was such a cool story. But as we talk about this peace project, I mean, the fire is just one example of many that I would say probably on record, this has been probably the craziest year on record at the amount of unrest in our world. I mean, from fires in California to hurricanes in Houston and Florida and all of these other areas to earthquakes in Mexico, to shootings right here in our own city and Texas and a school this last week. It's like, when is it going to stop? And what's horrible about this is then you fast forward to Christmas, and Christmas just amps up the unrest all that much more, because we're all kind of feeling it, but then on top of that, we have all these things to do and places to go and people to buy for. And I mean, this should be like the most peaceful time of the year, right? Where all the troubles seem far away, right? That song, Have Yourself a Very Merry Christmas, right? And all of your troubles will be far away. And it's not like that. I mean, I was putting up Christmas lights at my house and like, hey, you know, to celebrate the Prince of Peace coming to this world, I'm going to put lights up on my house. And you know, I'm one of these guys that the lights have to all be straight, you know, so I staple a lot. And so I'm stapling a lot and I'm getting there. My daughters are helping. We're having a crazy fun family moment. And we get ready to turn the lights on, and this string of lights that I just taken about an hour and a half to put up, they're not working. And so I felt like Clark Griswold and in that movie, Christmas Vacation, and I'm checking the bulbs, and finally, I cried uncle. I had to go and I had to undo all the staples, had to take it all off, and I had to put it all back on. And I was like feeling anything but peaceful in that moment. And it's just crazy that this time of the year is supposed to be a time where we are experiencing the most amount of peace that we could experience throughout the entire year. And this is the time of the year where we experience more unrest than we do any time of the year. So as a leadership, as we began thinking about a Christmas series, we just knew that the thing that we need to talk more about than anything else is peace, because this is what we really need. In Isaiah, back 700 years before the Messiah was ever born, before he ever came to this world, the prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." But you know, this isn't the only declaration that the Messiah would be a Prince of Peace, that he would be bringing peace to the world. In Luke chapter 2, the angels show up on scene, and they're declaring this beautiful moment that's happening. And this is what they say. "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" Peace on earth. The angels were coming and saying, "Earth, don't you understand that you're entering into a new era of existence? That the Prince of Peace is bringing something that the world desperately needs. But here we are, 2,000 years after the Prince of Peace has come, and there seems to be more unrest now than there has ever been in the history of humanity. So what is the deal? Where is this peace?" Well, today I want to talk about where peace is really rooted in. It's not rooted in a belief. It's not rooted in the fact that you believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Because even the Bible tells us that demons believe in Jesus. But see, really, the root of peace is rooted in the idea of the rulership that Jesus plays in our lives. Because what Jesus offered us was an opportunity to let him be ruler of our lives. Because by default, he's not the ruler of this world. I mean, even Jesus tells us this in multiple passages in the Gospel of John, that the ruler of this world is no longer God, but it's the devil. And the reason we see so much evil, the reason we see so much darkness, the reason we see so much depression and discouragement and unrest is not because Jesus is ruling this world globally. The devil is. That's why all of this stuff is going on. But Jesus came to sabotage the real ruler of this world so that he could return ruling this world through us. You know, the Bible talks about peace over 700 different times throughout Scripture. And really, if you look at the idea of peace, there's three categories when the Bible talks about peace that you could talk about. And the first one is the idea of eternal peace or spiritual peace. We call this peace with God. And the Bible talks a lot about peace with God or eternal peace or spiritual peace. The other kind of peace is not eternal peace. It's more emotional peace. This is like internal peace. This is what we would call peace, the peace of God. So the peace with God, you might say, gives us access to having and experiencing the peace of God. But then there's this third kind of peace the Bible talks about. We're going to spend more time next week talking about this particular kind of peace. This is the relational peace. This is external peace. This is the peace with other people. And we all know about conflict. And some of us are walking through some conflicts right now that are putting us at unrest with another human being. And what's interesting is when you get into a conflict with another human being, it can be so bad that you can't focus on anything else. Everything else in your life becomes out of whack because that one relationship is not healthy. Have you ever been there? You can actually get to a point where things are so out of whack in one relationship that life seems to be out of whack. And so as we talk about peace, I want to talk about it in layers here because we need to understand that God came to this world to bring us a peace that the world has never known before. In John, it says that Jesus declared this kind of peace that he was bringing in John chapter 14. He says, I'm leaving you peace. I'm giving you my peace. I don't give you the kind of peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or cowardly. He's like, I'm bringing into this world a peace that this world has never known. It's a peace that actually lives above your circumstances. See, there's a difference between worldly peace and heavenly peace. We know what worldly peace feels like. When circumstances are right in your life, you're like, I'm good. You know, everything is, I call it living in the land of hunky-doryville. It's just like everything's good. Your health is good. Your job is good. Your family's good. It's like you look around and, you know, things are pretty normal. And everyone asks you, you know, hey, how's it going? You're like, pretty good. It's like that circumstantial peace, that's the worldly peace. When your circumstances are aligned in the way you want them to be aligned, that's worldly peace. But many of us know that worldly peace or circumstantial peace doesn't last very long, does it? You don't have to live very long to start experiencing circumstances that don't work with you. They start working against you. Your plans start coming undone. Have you ever had a plan in your mind? You're like, man, we're gonna do this. We're gonna go here. And then right before you leave, a kid gets sick. Or you have this opportunity to get this job promotion. And you start, you know, spending all the money that you're gonna get on the raise. And then somebody else gets the job. Has that ever happened to you? You know, or you're going to get a Christmas bonus and you go ahead and you contract out for a pool guy to dig a pool and the owner gives you a Jelly of the Month Club award instead of your bonus. I don't know. I guess I've watched that movie one too many times. But you can all relate to something that you thought was going to work this way, didn't work according to your plan, and pretty soon you start getting unrestful. See, that's worldly peace, but Jesus says, I have a peace that I'm giving you that supersedes your circumstances. That even when circumstances don't work out the way you want them to, you're still going to be at rest in your soul. This is what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4. He says, don't worry about anything. Touch your neighbor and say, stop worrying. That Did you know that's a command in the Bible? And I will tell you, I think this is the hardest command to follow. Who's with me? To not worry about anything. Yeah? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Which exceeds anything we can understand. See, worldly peace makes sense. When your life is working the way you want it to and you're experiencing peace, that makes sense. But heavenly peace, the peace that Paul's talking about here, it supersedes your circumstances, meaning that everybody in the world's like, how are you dealing with this? I mean, I know your circumstances. I know you just lost your job. I know what the diagnosis was that the doctor just gave you last week. I know what your kids are going through right now. I know that you've got all of this emotional stuff going on. How are you doing it? And your response is, I don't know. There's a supernatural thing working inside of me that even though everything is wrong, I feel right. It exceeds understanding. If your peace makes sense, that's not heavenly peace. Heavenly peace is when things don't make sense and you still feel it. And this is what we need to enter into. And I'm telling you, as a church, there's a lot of believers that claim to follow Jesus, that come to church all the time, that are not experiencing heavenly peace in their life. They believe in it. They believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. They believe that Jesus gives us peace, but they're not experiencing it. Let me go through the layers here. You cannot experience the peace of God until you experience peace with God. You know, when I said earlier, you're when a relationship's out of whack, it's like you can't get your life together. See, when your relationship with God is out of whack, it's going to be hard for you to navigate anything in your life. Your relationship with God is the biggest relationship that you can possibly ever have in your life. And when you don't have a good relationship with God, your life is going to seem out of whack. Some of you came to church today because you're feeling it. And the reason your life is out of whack is because your relationship with God is out of whack. Let me give you some scriptures here. In Corinthians, it says this about having peace with God. It says, God sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. So Christ came to this world so that he can make our relationship with God at peace. In other words, our decisions, the things that we do in our life, cause us to become enemies of God. Romans chapter 5 talks a lot about this, and in verse 1 it says it this way. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And in verse 10 it says this. Even when we were God's enemies, he made peace with us because his son died for us. Yet something even greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, we will be saved by his son's life. See, if you know anything about anthropology, throughout other religions, they would do these things called peace offerings because they knew that they had to be right with their creator. It says in Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus was the ultimate peace offering with God, that once he gave his life for us, that we would be able to enjoy peace with God forever and ever and ever. It was a once and for all sacrifice that God did on our behalf so that we could have peace with him. That's the significance of Jesus dying for our sins. But see, you can't experience internal peace without first having eternal peace. That eternity that Ecclesiastes, another book of the Bible, says is written in your hearts, that has got to be made right first. That's the first step. Then the second step is this internal peace. The third step is the external peace with others. We'll talk about that next week. But I want to talk to you guys specifically about this internal peace. Because as a believer in Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, we should be experiencing more peace than anybody on this planet. But we as a church are not. And I think the key is the fact of who wears the crown in our life. Now, this isn't an authentic crown. This cost me $5 at Party City. But I thought about going to Burger King and giving you guys each one. Maybe you guys can go there for lunch and grab one. But you see, every day, you don't know this, but every day when you wake up, there's a crown on your nightstand. And every day when you wake up, you have a decision that you are going to make of who wears the crown for your life. Now, the crown is simply an idea, an understanding of rulership. Who is going to rule my life? And what we do, whether we want to admit it or not, is we give this crown to people and to things that were never designed to wear it. In other words, we give people and we give things in our life rulership of our lives, and we wonder why we're not walking in the peace that God died and resurrected and gave us the Holy Spirit to live in. I want to take you to another scripture. It's found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And this is so important for us to understand. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. And it says, remember back in Philippians, if you could put that scripture back up again, I want you to look at this. As you live in Christ Jesus. The peace comes, the heavenly peace comes as you live in Christ Jesus. So when you are making a decision in your life daily to say, "Jesus, you're wearing the crown. Today, I'm placing the crown on you." In other words, what you're telling Jesus is that you have rulership over my life. And the more rulership Jesus has in your life, the more heavenly peace is going to enter into your life. Think about areas of our life that we struggle with the most. See, the American Psychological Association says that the number one stress we Americans feel is finances. So number one. Number two is our careers or our jobs. Third on the list is actually our family responsibilities, followed by fourth, which is our health. So think about that. How many of you have been at unrest in one of those four areas, maybe even this last week? Money, man, it keeps a lot of us awake at night thinking about where the money is going to come from, where the money went. How many times have we stayed up thinking about our jobs, about, you know, maybe I'm not going to have a job, or maybe how I can get a better job, or, you know, am I going to get let go of my job? Or how about that family responsibility? I'm not going to be able to get stuff done. I'm not going to be able to make my spouse happy. I'm not going to be able to make my parents happy. I'm not going to be able to make my kids happy. Followed by, I don't know, you know, I'm kind of feeling something in my throat. I see a spot on my shoulder. Let me Google these symptoms. And then pretty soon you have a terminal disease that you're dying in 6 weeks from. If you have symptoms, can I tell you, do not Google the symptoms. Because you will always find symptoms that match your symptom that is, you know, got a death sentence to it, okay? So I just warn you. But what I want to show you guys this morning as we talk about internal peace is that to the degree that you make Christ prince of your life is the degree that you are going to experience the heavenly peace in your life. So to the degree that you make Jesus the prince of these areas of your life is the degree that you are going to experience the heavenly peace for your life. In other words, how can we make Jesus ruler of how we're living out our financial situation. Now, this isn't another message about tithing and giving. By the way, man, I thank you guys so much for your generosity. We almost have raised $20,000 for our improvement costs, and that you guys are amazing. But this isn't a message about you becoming more generous. This is a message about stewardship. See, if God is ruler over your finances, it's not just a matter of can God have permission to tell you how to give to the church. It's a whole nother level. Like, have you consulted with God on how you spend any of your money? Like, making God your ultimate CPA in how you budget your finances. Would God want you to go out and get a larger house and have a higher mortgage where you are living beyond your means and now you're under this constant weight and pressure of finances when God never designed you to live that way? That was a decision that you made. But I believe as we make Jesus ruler over how we're living our lives financially, he's probably going to stop us from making dumb decisions with our money. Right? We are buying things we don't need with money we don't have for people we don't like. And it's got to stop. And so you have to ask yourself this question. If Jesus was really the king of my finances, would I be spending money the way I'm spending it? And chances are he's probably going to tell you no sometimes. But again, it's a daily decision. When you wake up, that crown is on your nightstand. And even though I didn't bring you one, maybe you go to Party City, buy your own crown, put it there on the nightstand, and remind yourself that every morning when I wake up, I am making a decision on who is going to rule over my life and who I am going to willingly submit myself to. What about our time and our priorities? What if we really make Jesus the prince of how we spend our time and how we prioritize our lives? Instead of just doing the things that we want to do and spending our time the way we want them to spend. See, I believe that we are giving ourselves over to things with our time that Jesus would never want us to give our time over to. Not to say that Jesus is against us having hobbies or Jesus is against us, you know, having careers that cause us to work overtime. But there are things that if we're really honest with ourselves, there's things that we're doing and causing us to give our time over to where we feel like we don't have enough time in the day to get everything done that we need to get done. And then there's that pressure, there's that unrest. How many times have you went to bed thinking, I didn't get done all the things that I needed to get done? Now, I want to see a statistic, and there probably is one out there, but how much of our time during the day is being wasted by us checking Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or one of these other things? You know, I'm telling you, and I'm guilty too, I'm not saying that I'm immune to this, but we are so bad at this. I mean, now I'm honking. Now, before, like, you know, people would be running red lights. Now, when the light turns green, you have to honk to get people to go because they're all checking their phones. Yes. Have you, like had to honk at somebody and then, you know, they take off and they're, like, texting and you're like, don't do that. But how much of our time is really being given over to that? And the bigger concern is those minutes, those spare minutes that we're checking phones and we're doing all this stuff, that could be time that our brain is actually resting. Do you know there's an epidemic of anxiety and now it's being linked to the fact that we're not letting our minds ever rest? We have our televisions going while we're checking our phones, while, you know, the television is got some other thing scrolling on the bottom. It's like, this is like information overload, and our brains are never able to rest. Do you know even God rested? If God says, I need to rest, and we're his creation, Don't you think there should be time in your week where you just unplug and you just say, I've got to rest my brain? I believe that would be God's will. And some of you, maybe that's exactly why you came to church, is because you are not letting God rule over your time. And maybe he's been telling you to rest. And because you're not giving him rulership, you're not submitting to what he's telling you to do. What about relationships? I mean, how many of us have gotten involved in the wrong relationship simply because we didn't let Christ rule over who it is that he wants us spending our time with? And a lot of us, we've ended up with the wrong people simply because we didn't really listen to what God had to say about that. But he's so fine. I know he's not going to church, but man, he's got money. He's good looking. So that settles it. I'm with him. And I got some guy over here going, you know what? You know, she doesn't really love the Lord and she's not anything I want, but she's interested in me. Well, just because somebody's interested in you doesn't mean that's the person that God wants for you. Can I tell you? Can I tell you something? You know what a godly woman, a woman of God wants from a man? She wants a bold, courageous man that's willing to go up and say, would you have coffee with me this week? You know, that's what a woman of God wants. She wants a courageous brother in Christ to be able to say, hey, I'm not afraid to talk to another beautiful woman, and I'm gonna talk to you. I mean, you guys, we have to understand that there's a rulership involved over our relationships that is noteworthy. There are friendships that we've allowed into our life that are compromising the way and the reason or the ways and the movement that God wants to do in our life. And we have to look at that. Am I letting Christ be the ruler of my relationships? A lot of the unrest in these relationships is that you are yoked up with somebody that God never intended you to be yoked up with. Can you receive that word? But the idea, and I mean, we could talk about our health. A lot of us are at unrest with our health because we're not submitting to the reign and rule of Christ with what we're doing to our bodies. Are we asking God, should I make this a part of my diet? Should I exercise, Lord? The things that we are dealing with as a culture with our health, a lot of this is because we're not being obedient to what God is telling us. Cancer now has surpassed heart disease as a leading cause of death in America. And most of the cancers that we have succumbed to are preventable if we just take care of what we're doing to our bodies. The number one cause right now for cancer in our bodies is obesity. And I'm not here to condemn anybody and your obesity, but I'm here to tell you that there are things, if we submit to God, would God really have something to say about what we're eating, how we're eating, how we're exercising, how we're taking care of our bodies? It says in the Word that our bodies are the temple of God. But are we submitting to that authority and how we're taking care of ourselves? Let me end with a couple of passages from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter, let me go to, I think 48. If only you had listened to my commands, your peace would be like a river that never runs dry. Your righteousness would be like waves on the sea. See, a lot of our unrest, a lot of the lack of peace in our life is not because God has stopped giving out heavenly peace. It's because we've stopped submitting to the reign and rule that he has in our lives. Isaiah 26 says this, you, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust you. See, this is what it comes down to. Do you trust God and his rulership over every area of your life more than maybe you trust yourself, more than you trust the local news, or you trust your friends, or maybe even more than you trust substance abuse? But it's amazing to me the things that we will bow down to and submit our lives to and then wonder why there's no peace in our life. Jesus came to this world to be our Prince of Peace. But it's only to the degree that you are willing to submit to his reign and rule over your life. For you, as a human being, to experience this kind of internal peace. And the kicker is, the more internal peace that you have in your life, the better you are at relationships around your life. And we'll get to more of that next week. But some of you, the reason that you're treating people wrongly, the reason you keep getting snappy and grumpy with people, it's not because of them, it's because of the unrest in your soul. And Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and worn out, and I'll give you rest. Yoke up with me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. You got to come to Jesus. And you got to be willing to submit that crown to Jesus every day. And I'm telling you from personal experience that he will rule your hearts with peace. You guys, a lot of you know that the October 1st shooting affected our church in multiple ways. But probably the biggest story is the Schweitzer family, who you've heard me talking about before. When the tragedy happened at that country music festival, their 20-year-old daughter, Bailey Schweitzer, was killed. And we watched this family at our prayer vigil that night, the day after, on Monday night, weep and cry and grieve. And I walked them through this journey as a pastor, and it was so clarifying to me on multiple fronts. But something spectacular happened as I pastored this family. I have felt the peace of God when everything else said I shouldn't be. I felt it in the loss of my mom to Alzheimer's in 2013. I felt it even as a little boy at the loss of my sister to a crazy accident in 1982. But something was different about the Schweitzers. Maybe it was the horrific nature of how Bailey died, in such an evil act of terror. But I watched his family experience the peace of God. I watched Chrissy, the mom, who was with her daughter when her daughter died. She was at the festival with her. And I watched Chrissy get touched by the healing hands of our Heavenly Father that bestowed upon her peace that didn't make any sense on this side of heaven. It exceeded anything that we could comprehend or understand. I visited them about a week ago, and just to check on them, they live in Bakersfield. And Thanksgiving was hard. But they also, as a family, the week before that, they went to Ventura before the fires happened. And as a family, they all got baptized in the ocean. And I tell you, as a pastor, I've seen the peace of God. But on that family, it was so vivid and it was so clear that the peace of God is real, my friends. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what hell is breaking loose around your life, heavenly peace that comes when you submit to the reign and the rule of Christ supersedes any horrific circumstance that could ever march itself into your life. You just have to make a decision. Am I willing to trust God with this in my life? Would you pray? Father, I just end this service with a word of prayer. And our heart aches at the condition of our world. The evil that we hear about now seems weekly, fires and earthquakes and hurricanes. And sometimes, God, it's just overwhelming, God. But you said you have a peace to give us that is actually greater than anything that we can comprehend on this world. And my prayer is that everybody here could taste that peace. God, I don't know what everyone's walking through in this room, God, but I imagine there's some relationship problems. I imagine there's some financial problems, God. I imagine, God, that there's some health problems going on. I imagine, God, that maybe there's even some emotional problems where maybe even somebody here is like, I don't even know if I want to live tomorrow. God, I pray that your peace that passes all understanding, God, would come into this room and would manifest in people's hearts like never before. That you would become so real. And Lord, show us with clarity ways that we are not submitting to your rule and reign. God, ways that we continue to want to call our own shots with our finances or our relationships or our careers or even our emotions. God, show us how we're not giving these things over to you. And while everyone is praying, if this message is for you and you're saying, Pastor, I know I don't have the peace of God because I don't have peace with God. I feel like my relationship is in turmoil with God right now. My friend, you don't have to leave that place, leave this place with that. That God wants you to be reconciled with him right now in this moment. And all it takes for you to be reconciled with him is a decision that you make in your heart. To say, Jesus, I want you to rule and reign in me. I want your spirit to come and fill me. And I believe that you died for me so that I can have peace with you and I can have peace in me and I can have experience peace with others. But it starts with you being at peace with God. And if you want to make that decision this morning and you say, Pastor, I need to have peace with God. You want Jesus to come and live inside of you and fill you with this peace. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I know this is what I need in my life. I'm tired of living the way I'm living, feeling at unrest constantly. God bless you guys that are raising your hand. Just keep your hand raised. My volunteers are going to just give you a card. And just, it gives you some instructions on the next steps. Anyone else, just say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God bless you, bro. Yeah, you too. God bless you. Yeah, you too. A lot of hands going up. Anyone else? Well, you that raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer after me. I'll lead you in this prayer to make it easy for you. And the rest of the church, you can pray along with us. Because let's make this a Christmas declaration to live in the peace that Jesus not only was born to bring us, but that he died and resurrected to give us. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins and giving me this life that I could never have on my own. I receive your spirit to come and live and reign inside of me. I don't want to call the shots anymore. I want you to reign in my life, in every area of my life, so that I may walk in that peace that you resurrected to give me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Hey, if you know somebody really that's struggling with peace in their relationships, hey, invite them to church next Sunday. And the Sunday after that is Christmas Eve already. Crazy. So there's invite cards. Grab one on your way out because our times are different on Christmas Eve. God bless you guys. If you need prayer for whatever reason, we got a great prayer team that love to pray for you. You are dismissed, right? Keep the faith. Spread the hope. Live the love. You're dismissed.
Reach us by phone at 702-254-2251 or visit our website at vbfvegas.org.